You are tuned in to the National Homelessness Radio Marathon. It's a 15-hour broadcast this year, hosted by CFRC 101.9 FM Community and Campus Radio in Kingston, Ontario. CFRC will now contribute its own segment to the broadcast. It's about 1:45 here in Kingston Eastern Time. We started out with a live open mic from Martha's Table at 4 until 5:30, and we'll finish the broadcast with a documentary on hidden and youth homelessness in Kingston. But for now, we'll hear one of our on-air programmers, Doug, in conversation with two representatives of Frontenac Mental Health. It's a resource here for folks experiencing homelessness, addiction, and mental health problems, among other things. And we'll hear what they have to say about homelessness in Kingston, particularly Kingston's housing and homelessness and Housing First strategy.
My name is Robert Yeo, and I'm a service director here at Frontenac Community Mental Health and Addiction Services.
And I'm Robin Witzke from Frontenac Community Mental Health and Addiction Services, and I'm the supervisor of the Housing First program.
Well, welcome to both of you and thank you both for taking the time to talk about the homelessness project and what's happening. You both have a lot of experience in this whole area, both historically, so you know what's going on around the area, and also in helping many, many clients. So what I'd like you to do is talk a little bit of the historical part. What is happening in Kingston right now when you were talking about home or people who do not have a home?
Okay, so right now in Kingston, the city of Kingston conducted a homelessness point and count survey, I think in 2013, which really started to show the current situation, homelessness situation in Kingston. And through that, they developed a 10-year strategy to end homelessness, which actually can be located on the City of Kingston website if anybody wants to see that. It's a breakdown of all the strategies and the objectives that through the 10-year strategy to end homelessness, which I think is to... The overall goal is to reduce chronic homelessness by 60% by 2023, I believe. So what's happening with the city, in Kingston, is we looked at changing some of the way that we provided services. There was lots of different services regarding homelessness and mental health and addictions and things like that around the Kingston area. However, some of it was a little bit fragmented and not as coordinated as we would have liked. So knowing that if we truly wanted to end homelessness, we would have to look at this from a community perspective, and all of the members of the community and of different organizations would have to come together and work really closely together to truly make a difference with homelessness. So with the plan, there's four main components of the homelessness plan, or the taking a housing first approach, which we can speak a little bit later about. The first was around prevention and diversion program, which prevention and diversion helps to divert people who have other options from becoming homeless. So that would be providing assistance to individual, because maybe some hoarding behaviors or other behaviors where they may face eviction, but so working with them to prevent them from entering into homelessness. The second service is around housing assistance and emergency shelter program. So that's identifying primary housing and supports best suited to a homeless individual or family needs to provide whatever services to meet their immediate needs, whether it be nutrition, safety, those types of things. And Robin can speak a little bit more about these afterwards. The third component was rapid rehousing and Housing First program, which we here were fortunate enough to obtain the Housing First program. So what they do is assist individuals and families who are homeless and have the deepest and most chronic needs. We help them obtain, maintain, and sustain their housing, and also link them up to supports and provide some support to help keep them housed and maintaining their housing and improving their quality of life, which is obviously the most important goal. And lastly is the Homelessness Prevention Fund. And the Homelessness Prevention Fund provides funding to assist eligible individuals. So it could be things like utility payments, if someone's heat was going to be turned off, those types of things, that they could pay those those bills and things like that. So it's basically to prevent the individual from becoming homeless. So, Robin, I'm not sure if you want to add a little bit more to that. I kind of went on for a bit there.
Okay. In terms of the Housing First program, that's the program that I supervise here at Frontenac. And as Rob mentioned, the tenants, the clients that we work with are the most chronically homeless, and we assist them in obtaining housing, and then once they've found the housing, helping them to meet their obligations as a tenant, work with their landlord in order to sustain their housing. Right now, our program just started just in January, so we have 6 case managers as well as an assessment worker, and currently our referrals come from the emergency shelter system, and who provide an assessment and then link individuals to our services and link them up with a case manager who can then work with them on finding the housing and maintaining the housing.
So in this case, how could, you mentioned that there's someone who refers them to your program, Robin, but can someone come to you and say, I don't have a home, can I get some assistance?
Currently, right now, the access points for our services are all at the emergency shelter systems, so that's where they would get the referral to our program. In the future, there may be different access points, but right now, the starting point is access through the shelter system.
So you're giving hope to those people who are going through that there's going to be someone to help and assist finding a place to stay?
Yes.
Okay.
So they'll be directed to that.
Right. That's good. So, Rob, you were mentioning about the programs that may be available. How could people contact you, not you personally, but get help through the programs for any one of the 4 that you mentioned here?
So these 4 programs, as Robin was talking about, the point of entry would be through the emergency shelter. So if somebody came into our organization, which is predominantly addiction mental health, who was facing homelessness or would benefit from any of these 4 services, we would assist them, you know, link up with those the homeless services that we discussed and go from there. So the individual, in essence, would start off with the prevention. They would have this prevention diversion, would do what they call a SPDAT. Robin can tell you what the acronym for that is, because
it's a service prioritization decision assessment tool.
Okay. So basically what that does is looks at the level of acuity, meaning the severity of the homelessness, and then based on that, the person would then potentially be screened in to Housing First or Rapid Rehousing or Prevention Diversion. Or if the individual only required a little bit of financial assistance to prevent them from being homelessness, then they would be linked over to that mm-hmm. appropriate service. So it's almost like a one-stop shop. Instead of having 10 different places that to go, it's, you know, one place to go, and everything gets funneled out from there.
So how do the people who are in need of this service find out about it? That would be my next question.
Right now, to be honest, we just started this in January, mm-hmm. so it's relatively new. There's been lots of communication from the city, there's been surveys that have been sent out, there's lots of information on the City of Kingston's website about all of these 4 programs, the point in time, homeless count, the 10-year strategy to end homelessness, which is a fantastic document if anybody's really interested in looking at homelessness and provincial strategies to end homelessness. And a lot of the major cities and some of the smaller cities across Canada have all been undertaking the 10-year plan to end homelessness. So it looks at what are the objectives. Like one of the objectives or the goals is that providing a home is first and foremost. That's the priority. Everything else is second. The right, it's a person's right to have safe, affordable accommodation and housing.
Where do we find the document?
It's on the cities at these www.cityofkingston.ca /resident/community-services /housing/homeless. But if you just go to the City of Kingston website,
you can find it
under
homeless. Sure.
Actually, if you just go into the city and then type in the search, like Housing First, you'll find it all.
Thank you.
That's probably the easiest.
We'll share that. Yeah, and I'll have to read through it now.
it's a good read.
So now it seems that it's not people just going from one spot to the next and being on a, you know, I've been through this with people we know who have had to be on a list waiting for housing and, you know, being told leading into the fall, the cold weather, that well, you're third or fourth or fifth on a list waiting. And then it's the end of the year, end of the winter, and they still haven't been able to contact the person. And part of the problem is because some of the people who need the services, it's hard to contact them. So, so it sounds to me like that this is going to be a much more cohesive way for people within the city to get supports. Does this go beyond the city? Does it go out of the city limits?
Yeah, this approach has been, I mean, it's a national approach across Canada. There's lots of research that have gone into housing first and strategies to end homelessness. Homeless First is basically, it's a model where the housing is provided and the support's provided to maintain the housing. It started with the Pathways model out of New York with Dr. Sam Tabaris, which if you do a Google search on his name, you'll find all kinds of information about Housing First and strategies to end homelessness. So on a national level, the At Home Chez Soi project was a major research undertaking looking at Housing First, where they basically give somebody a home and the supports in order to maintain it, and then looking at, you know, the evidence to support that, which was overwhelmingly positive and successful. Typically, Housing First looks at providing support and service to the folks that are chronically homeless, and we know that around 20% of the folks that are chronically homeless make up most of the days in emergency shelters and days homelessness. And that's what Housing First is provides that focus on those individuals, and then the rest of the other three programs, you know, focus on the individuals that need different levels of supports, whether it be financial or some light touch supports to maintain their housing or keep them from entering homelessness. But the Housing First approach is more for those individuals that have had multiple episodic areas of homelessness. The other thing to touch on is that we also know that many individuals that experience chronic or episodic homelessness also have addictions and mental health issues. Sometimes undiagnosed, sometimes diagnosed, sometimes treated, sometimes not. It's around, I think on the national average, is around 66% of individuals have a mental health issue. And interesting enough, 66% have an addictions issue as well. But if you look at the either or, it goes up to 88%. So almost 90% of individuals that are episodic or chronically homeless have addictions or mental health issues. So it's really important when you're looking at homelessness and how do we provide support and services to individuals that are experiencing homelessness, that we also look at it from a community perspective, that we ensure that we're not just looking at providing the housing, we're also looking at the supports in order to maintain the housing. And interesting enough, at the point in time survey in Kingston, nobody said they wanted to stay homeless. And we hear that sometimes, like people say, well, people choose to be homeless. My personal opinion, most people don't choose or want to be homeless. Sometimes we make it because of rules and other things in housing and things like that we make it difficult, or people don't want to. Maybe they're challenged by some of those rules and stuff. But
you know, just think of the stress of not having a home and not being able to decide where you're going to be able, just to go make your own coffee. Or to sit back and relax for a few minutes, and if the weather's really bad, then I can decide not to go out or go out, depending on how I feel. But if you don't have a place to stay that's yours,
absolutely,
the stress load would be really high on the individual. Robin, you were talking a little bit about the program that you're involved in. Can you tell me the impact that this change might be having for your clients?
Certainly, I guess in the past, in terms of services that were available to people, often, even within our own agency, clients were coming for the mental health and addiction support. But now with the new program of Housing First, people are accessing the support based on the fact that they want housing. If they choose so later on and they would like assistance with accessing other services for mental health and addiction, then that's their choice. But certainly in terms of the first priority is housing, and we're finding that everybody that comes to meet with us, they certainly want to work with us because they want housing. And then later on, if they would like to access those other supports, we can. They have the support to the case manager. The Housing First case managers can help them to navigate their way through the system in order to get appropriate other supports in the community as well.
Right now, we're dealing with the individuals who are at the point where the shelter, they're in the shelter and they're really in an emergency. What about families where the family has an adult child who is struggling with trying to find a home and that sort of thing? Can they contact you, or contact, how do they get in touch with finding a place for the child?
Certainly they can assist their children to navigate their way through the shelter system. So through the shelter access points, through prevention and diversion, certainly individuals can come with their family member or their support, whatever other types of supports that they have. So they could certainly access the service in the same
So do the doctors in the community in the Kingston area know that this is a change?
They're starting to.
Okay. I mean,
it's relatively new for the last couple of months, so there is a lot of communication that's going on. There's a lot of folks that don't know yet, because it is relatively new, and there has been a bit of a change to the shelter system as we moved, obviously, some financial dollars around. I think the city's up around $5 million right now, looking at all the expenditure on the homeless strategy, which is fantastic. But I think it would be an understatement to say that most people are aware.
Okay.
Right now. I think there's still some more work to do.
So what's happening like now with the sharing this through the radio is probably a start.
Yes.
And also where to go with it would be the next question. That would be something that we can... I'll keep asking people what they know about it.
Absolutely.
And if they don't, then where do we go from there is the next question. Right. How do they contact, I guess, going through the shelters?
Yes.
Okay. And that's the easiest way. All right. Now, Rob, you said something, if we truly wanted to end homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you started. And do you want to say that again?
If we truly wanted to end homelessness, it's going to take a village approach that, you know, not just the addiction mental health organizations or the housing organizations or the city. I think there's things that we can all do in terms of professionals, whether it be addiction mental health, social service agencies, social assistance programs, things like that, is to really sit at the same table and work together and provide that wraparound approach to really providing the individual what they need. In days gone by, and not too distant from our current situation, many organizations would kind of look at homelessness and individuals experiencing homelessness that they had to earn the right to be housed.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting away from that. That's, you know, now we're looking at it as everybody has the right to be housed. Housing first, then the supports and everything else is provided for the individual to be successful. We know that individuals that are experiencing homelessness have higher incidence of health issues, more chronic health issues, which makes sense considering a large portion of their time is spent on trying to obtain food, trying to find a place to live, trying to, you know, look after themselves, stay safe, those types of things. So when they do tend to have health problems, they tend to be more severe than the mainstream population. So when they show up at an emergency room, because some of these individuals have family physicians, some don't, they tend to have more complex problems than the average individual that does utilize the emergency room. In my opinion, anyway, it's going to take the whole community to come together, working together to reduce stigma around homelessness. It's not when we think of homelessness, we tend to think of the person with a blanket or a cardboard box sitting on top of a grate somewhere. That's the visible homeless. When you think of Kingston, when they did the point-in-time survey, it was around 106 individuals on that day, I believe it was in October, that they knew were homeless, that were part of that survey. However, the estimate at any given time in Kingston, there's at least 400 people that are homeless. And we know, which is a bit of an anomaly for Kingston, because Kingston, as at that point in time, 52%, I believe, were females, and that's not... That's not typically norm across Canada. Nationally, it's about 25 to 30% are females, but in Kingston at that point in time was 50%. And it was about 40, I think it was around 40, so 40 of them, 40 individuals were that transitional youth age group. Average age was 33, and the median time homelessness was 3.5 months, so 50% were less, spent less homeless days in 3.5 months, and 50% were more than 3.5. So it's a significant issue, and it's going to take a very coordinated, integrated approach, because it's not just that individual sleeping on a grate in a cardboard box. It's mothers with children. In the point in time count, there was 8 families with 12 children that were part of the homeless situation on that. That's just that day. So that takes a unique approach. There's, as I said, 52% were women. That's a different approach. There's youth is a different approach. So we need a very coordinated effort, and I think as a community is just to really educate ourselves and know what help is out there. We do have the homelessness services. Well, they're new, and we need to get the information out there to the folks, but it's there. There are multiple addiction mental health services, social services. There's lots of help out there for individuals, and we need to come together to make it easier to access and less navigating, shall we say.
So what hope is there for everyone? When we talk about this, the homelessness issue, it's broader than just not having a place. And so what hope do we have for the families who are supporting someone, the friends who are supporting someone, and then the individuals who are either in and out of the services or just getting started into it? What kind of hope can you offer them?
I think in terms of now that we're focusing on housing first, prior to having to receive other services, certainly it's easier for, I guess, people to people want the housing, so they are going to want our support, I guess, as opposed to having to negotiate. I guess in the past it was more you had to want mental health support first, and then you might be able to get some support with finding housing, or you needed to access another type of support first, and then you might be able to get housing. But really now all individuals need to agree to is that they would like housing and they'd like some support with finding and maintaining. So certainly it's something that people want, which it's all based around client choice. We look at what type of housing people want to live in, and we try to give people as many choices possible. It's so in terms of the hope for, I guess, for families, is that we're trying to look at it from the client perspective and what their needs and wants are. So there's less trying to get the housing through other means or having to agree to other things they don't necessarily want to agree to in order to have the housing. It's a much more focused approach.
Right, yeah. So that's hopeful right there. One other question I have for both of you, but I'll start with Robin, is that when I was meeting with people over the last few days, and these are people who don't require homes or supports that from either of you or anything that's dealing with homelessness, but they do have this need to want to help in some way. So how could they volunteer? What could they do to support your whole idea of the village? But these are people who are saying, what could I do to help volunteer?
So in terms of volunteering, we're certainly We are looking now, we're moving a lot of individuals into homes who might not have furniture or, so certainly in terms of donations, we're always looking for assistance in terms of assisting people to move. So often people aren't able to afford to hire a moving van. So even just, I have a bed and I'll bring it to you. That's certainly a need. In terms of individuals who might own property or who are landlords who are would like to certainly the city is offering some rent supplements and making agreements with landlords, and also even if you're a private landlord who just would like to work with our program, that's certainly a need as well. If you have units available where we can work with individuals to to have those units. So
those are great, yeah, because those are things that I hadn't thought about myself.
The other thing to add to that is many of the social service and health agencies and organizations in Kingston have volunteer programs. So even to look at volunteer opportunities through those programs would be great. At Frontenac Community Mental Health Addiction Services right now, we don't. We're in the process of developing our volunteer program, and once it's up and running, would be another place to be able to lend the support that is much needed.
Mm-hmm. What I'd like to do is thank both of you for taking the time to be part of our homelessness project here at CFRC, and I would like to leave the last word to you. Robin, what would you like to say to anyone who may need help?
Just one thing. That's a challenge. There's a lot of things I'd like to say.
Robin, we have lots of time.
But certainly, for someone who needs help, I have a team of people who are very passionate individuals who are, I'm speaking of the case managers on my team, who are ready and willing and waiting to provide as much support as possible to people. And they're very passionate about what they do. They certainly... That's why they're in the role that they're in, and why they were certainly hired, is they have a great philosophy. So there's certainly hope. There's people out there waiting to help individuals who need the help.
get involved, right? Is what you're saying? And there are people to help. That's perfect.
And don't give up, I guess. In terms of just that this is a new program that wasn't available before. You know, there's been lots of challenges for individuals looking for housing in terms of being on wait lists for many, many years at a time. Yeah, just don't give up, and there's people waiting that want to help you.
Thank you, Robin. And Rob, last word to you.
To me, it's just that, you know, homelessness impacts all of us. It's not just, you know, the person that I described as, you know, living in a cardboard box, which isn't the case. It does impact all of us. Many people in the community across Canada are one or two paychecks away from losing their home, higher mortgage rates and everything else, cost of living. So, I mean, it affects our mothers, our sisters, our fathers, our brothers, our children, you know, everybody that are close to us. Or can impact us. The other thing, looking at, and I don't like to use a dollar perspective, but Canada spent about $7 billion last year around homelessness. So in that way, it certainly impacts all of us. That's a huge expenditure, not just health, but also, you know, on social assistance, on housing, on criminal justice system. You know, so that's a significant impact. And if we can all come together and truly, you know, want to develop an integrated response to ending homelessness, it certainly would, you know, reduce that expenditure significantly. But more importantly, I think everybody that's put on this earth deserves a place to live, a safe, affordable place to live. And I truly also believe that we have the power and the resources, if we integrate them in a way that's coordinated, we can reduce and potentially end homelessness. So the last thing I would say, Doug, is that if anybody in the Kingston surrounding areas is experiencing addictions or mental health issues and requires some assistance, please have them call, or encourage them to call 613-544-4229, which is our 24-hour crisis service. And we're here to help. Frontenac Community Mental Health and Addiction Services has a wide array of addiction and mental health services. So we are here to help. I encourage you to search the website, www.fcmhas.ca, for more information. And this was a real pleasure. Thank you very much for allowing us this opportunity.
Thank you both for being part of this project.
Well, thank you for having us.